Welcome to You Are an IP Company podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner and Katie Rubino. Our passion is helping entrepreneurs publish, protect, and promote their intellectual property. This podcast is sponsored by Instant IP. And now, get ready for You Are an IP Company.
Folks, we have a special guest today, Ashley, and she loves intellectual property, just like Katie and I. That's why we thought she'd be a great guest. So Ashley, you and Katie met, I believe, through a podcast I learned called, was it called FemTech or something like that?
Yes. First of all, thank you to both you and Katie for inviting me to You Are an IP Company. So this is awesome. Yes, we did. And I actually invited Katie. And then that was a live episode that one of our guests could not make it. Ooh. So the person actually called me in the morning and said that, do you think you could kind of sit in for this live LinkedIn event? And I was like, and I have to wash my hair.
See, I don't have to worry about that one.
You don't have that to worry about. Right. But and Katie and I just had the greatest chat. And wow. I just found her so supportive of women.
Yes.
And other, like, basically innovators and people, yes, like, in the IP space. So I am so grateful to her. And I invited her to other events and as well as her own podcast, which we just released earlier this week on Monday.
Very cool. Okay. Katie, what do you think resonated with you and Ashley? Because pre-show we were chatting and you kind of said you just got along really well. Like, what is it about her?
Yeah. I think for us, especially in IP, it's not a lot of women are in the field of IP. I think women make up like 16%.
Wow.
Of the industry. So, you know, it's rare to find other women who are really innovating and supportive of different topics, I think. And I think that just kind of resonated between the two of us to really be talking about companies and technological advancements.
Yes.
For some of these challenges women face. So I think that was really a point of commonality between the two of us.
Perfect. And Ashley, you definitely are an author. I was looking at your books. Can you hold them up and I'll announce them for the listeners? So you have Building a Leadership Habitat. That's pretty cool. And then you have Collaborating in Competitive Ecosystems. And the moment I saw that, Katie can attest to this, we thought of our friend Chad Jenkins. We're going to, because he's all about collaboration. So we're going to talk about that one briefly. And then the new one, The Leadership Catalyst. So can you kind of give us maybe 30 to 60 seconds on each one and kind of tell us like the why behind that one?
The why behind the Building a Leadership Habitat was early in the journey. And I used to be a patent litigation paralegal and case manager. So it was
really
for almost 2 decades.
Yeah.
I'm dating myself here. But I it's really hard to, because position does not define a leader.
Mm.
It's your influence and how, whether people follow you.
That's true.
You know, you manage the process and you lead people. And so that's how, when I first started, I was not as busy. I had some time. So I got on Airbnb experience and and during COVID. So I got to know like a publisher, publishing, like a self-published author. And
yes,
she was teaching some courses.
Okay.
And then I just joined it. I was like, oh, you know, I have an idea. Maybe I should do it. And so I just did it. And I always, all my books, if you see the themes, they are always supporting illustrators, young women, and mostly women. And then, so that was the first one. The second one was the same person. She's Korean American. And so the first one and the second one is the same illustrator, Korean American. And we just developed the theme. And we use Zoom to basically talk about, let's see, I'll show you one of the illustrations.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, FOMO.
FOMO, yes.
Yeah. So, and then we also have like the different, we have like the micro learning moments. So that was the key things about that book. And I think is trying to make complex and sometimes boring topics into a bite size and fun for people to learn.
That's
and so
cool.
That was really interesting. And then since then, she left me and kind of went to other things, which she really still does other things. But I found another illustrator through my cousin, Michelle. Okay. And this person is 20 years old. And this book is different. It's also talking about the leadership and principles and how you ignite changes in others by showcasing your, basically sharing your own vulnerabilities and letting people know that there's a way and path forward.
I love
it. If you really become like consistent and genuine about what you believe in. So she is 20 years old and just graduated with visual art degree. So that's kind of the gist of it.
Hopefully I love it.
That answer your questions.
That's perfect. Katie, when you said, hey, we need Ashley on, what about her IP journey? You know, interested you? Like, how did you all, I know you connected through the femtech, but like, what about her?
I think what's awesome about Ashley is, what she fails to tell everybody is after her 2-decade career in Big Lot, then she became an entrepreneur herself.
Whoa.
And runs her own business and supports, you know, all these lawyers who are doing these crazy litigations. And so she's, you know, really built something incredible and is always, you know, kind of at the forefront of a lot of these legal actions in the patent world too.
That's interesting. So like me, like Katie, you're entrepreneurial, you exchange the safe and predictable for the risky and innovative. So what is a daily, I don't know, what does a day look like for you, Ashley?
Oh, it goes all over the place. So before we actually do that, Katie, first of all, thank you for the shout out on that. And one of the things that I really do want to say that, you know, and give you guys your shout out is that you are an IP company. I have both the physical and the audible version. I read the physical one in London and brought it with me. And one of the things I've been thinking is that I knew all along that I created an IP company, but I wasn't sure that I am an IP company until I started reading like the book. And the one example that mostly resonated with me is about Taylor Swift.
Yes.
It's like she is famous because she protects her IP and she's very conscious about it. And I sort of like come in, you know, a little bit background. The reason why I kind of left the so-called safety A world to start my own journey, it was because my dad passed. And I really hit in 2017, very suddenly. Mm. And then he always, like, and he was very proud of me for having a good law firm job.
Okay.
You know, I was a liberal art degree. I was not a woman in STEM. I am not an attorney. I am not an attorney. So all of this, I'm a practitioner, I suppose, like some of the leading registered patent attorneys that practice before the USPTO. I have to support everybody, and I was such a people pleaser before I entered the entrepreneurial world. Then I realized I can no longer do that, because if I do that, then that means I would
wasn't true to
I
you.
Would take on liability.
Say that again.
I would take on other people's liability, because if they don't, like, for example, when you are working for other people, you really don't have that much choice to say no.
Mm.
You could try, but if they don't accept, what are you going to do? Continue to say no? But now I was like, first 2 years, I did not say no. And then I found myself very misaligned with my own value. I wasn't happy.
Wow.
And I'm like, should I dim my light for other people because I need to make a paycheck? I need to make that payment. But recently I have become much more like bold, as some people would say.
I feel it.
And I feel like, hey, you know, it's like,
it's
a two-way street.
Yeah.
You know, the trust, well, trust is two-way street. You know, I have to put in my, I actually bring in a lot of value add, and because I've been in the space for a long time, and I do only PTAP and ex parte, which is very, very specialized.
What does that even mean, Katie?
So PTAP is Patent Trial and Appeal Board, and Katie can explain that.
Say it again,
PTAB.
PTAB is Patent Trial and Appeal Board.
Whoa.
And that is, there's two kinds of proceedings. One is inter partes review, and the other is post-grant review proceedings. They're both invalidity proceedings, basically invalidating patents. Yes, like Katie said, that it's actually quite high profile, and I only support registered patent attorneys. I do not recommend, I do not represent or support attorneys that do not have registered number before the USPTO, because that's the jurisdiction that I cover. And yeah, it sounds really, really technical, doesn't it?
Right. Hey, listen, I'm learning things.
Wow. Yeah, so that's that. And then there's also ex parte re-exam. So early on, I was like, maybe I need to be all things to all people. But at some point, I decided that that was not going to be the case. Okay. So I start turning down cases. I do not do like ITC, International Trade Commission's work. I do not do district court work because there's so much confidential business information. And I don't feel like that I want to be or ends up about accidentally, you know, kind of releasing something confidential and get my business shut down, you know?
Yeah.
So that's just that. But, you know, maybe Katie can explain a little bit about, help me explain a little bit from a legal perspective what those proceedings are. Is that cool?
Katie always takes the complex and makes it simple for me. So go.
No, Katie's awesome.
No, so what Ashley's talking about here is a lot of times if this comes up, if let's say somebody is getting sued for patent infringement of someone's patent, their first kind of line of defense here is to say, hey, I can't be infringing this patent because this patent is invalid. Mm. So what happens in that case is then you would file this thing called either a post-grant review or an IPR at the patent office. And if there's ongoing litigation in court, it will stop the court proceeding while the validity of the patent is determined by this panel of judges. And usually these types of proceedings, they're pretty quick. They take about a year to complete, and there's no monetary damages awarded from these. So it's purely a question of, is this a valid patent or not? And a lot of times it's kind of a high burden to get the proceeding initiated. So you have to show, you know, all these reasons why. And then once if it does move forward, then, you know, it could theoretically take out the whole patent. It could take out certain claims of the patent. So it's sort of all up to the judge's interpretation of what evidence is kind of presented.
Yep.
And then based on that, the case will go back to court if, you know, some of it's still found to be invalid. And sometimes too, these are filed just on their own, not necessarily with the litigation. If let's say you want to just take out a competitor's patent, but it's a pretty expensive thing to start. So it's usually, you know, just in government fees and things, it can cost like $30,000 to $50,000. So you kind of have to have enough. You have to be ticked off enough to really, you know, want to spend the money to file one of these proceedings.
Let's talk about that, because I feel like this is where you all are so specialists. You have this amazing knowledge for the entrepreneur who's not used to this to make it super practical. I've heard that it's higher than you would think, than I thought. that if a patent goes to be reviewed because of possible infringement, sometimes the person who owns the patent, like you were, I think this is kind of what you're saying. Sometimes the claims are found to be like, oh crud, we shouldn't have given that patent those claims. Does that happen a lot where a patent that has been issued, now that you're going to enforce it upon somebody else, they say, let's look at that patent again. And then all the things shouldn't have been granted. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yeah. I mean, I'd say too, it depends who you're enforcing your patent against, right? Who your target is. If it's a small startup, right, who is fundraising, they're probably most likely not going to file one of these IPRs, right? They're going to be interested in getting a license to kind of putting it behind them, especially if they have a board of directors, right? Because they're going to, any kind of pending litigation, they're going to have to disclose that. Funders. And it's probably not in their best interest to fight this, right? Okay. They just don't have the resources and the capital.
Okay.
Where we see a lot of these types of challenges getting filed and defended is amongst kind of big tech or big pharma. So, you know, Apple is one of the most prolific filers of IPRs.
Really?
Google, yeah. You know, these kind of big name companies where there's a lot at stake in their IP portfolios.
Gotcha.
And just so you know, like the filing fee itself in 2025 is $51,475 or something like that for an IPR. And there's a post petition fee and also the, you know, request fee. The request fee, you do not ever get it back. But if your case are not instituted, you could do a request for refund. And then, so for example, if the party settle, whatever, it's not automatic request. You have to basically file a request for refund to get your institution feedback. So wow. They ask some back, but they will keep a substantial amount.
You have to be ready to go to war.
Yeah, it's not a cheap game.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. And tell me again what IPR stands for.
Inter partes review.
Inter partes
review.
Review. Wow. Interesting. Yeah, I've never run across those words. So now I'm going to know about all this stuff. So that's interesting. So Ashley, you kind of said, look, there's this narrow thing that is very specialist. I'm going to go all in. I'm going to make the decisions so I don't have to be a people pleaser and say yes to clients that aren't right fit. How has that journey been since you've made that decision?
Well, I don't think the journey is finished. So I think it's ongoing because there's always, you know, it's you're trying to balance between making, you know, helping people. You are trying to balance between making a living and you're trying to balance, you know, supporting your team.
Yep.
And then also the most important thing now is like basically like validating yourself through like your own values and not by pleasing other people and sort of externalize your like I used to be one of the things about people pleasing is that you get your likes and sort of like you validate yourself for other people's opinion of you.
Mm.
And that is very tiresome.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, at the end, it
empowered other people.
Yeah. And then also people have alternative motives.
Sure.
And you just like, I am kind of tired of that. And I also like, I mean, it's really a lot of an internal struggle, but, you know, a lot of time it's like I'm duking it out within myself. And then, but I just find myself much happier. And once that a mentor told me that I have never seen you aesthetically happy. So we don't do aesthetically happy for Chinese. We need income security.
Yeah.
But then I was like, oh, I went through a personal branding process. And then one of the questions that came up was that observation when I talked to my mentor when he made that sort of comment. I was like, that was really interesting. But the thing is, like, happiness was never really in my equation before.
Mm.
You know?
You didn't even consider it.
No, it wasn't even in my, like, you know, philosophy in that. Because I make a good living. I am, you know, I work for esteemed companies. And then I define myself by my job.
Wow.
Before VPG. Wow. So now I consider myself much more multifaceted. I'm an author. I'm a daughter. I have to drive my mom to her classes. She would kill me if she knows that I'm telling people that she's taking Zumba classes.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm her Uber driver because she doesn't drive. So I was like, right. What time is your class today? So that is something that I'm super proud of. I'm a sister to my brothers and just a lot of other things. I'm like member of many esteemed, like, you know, the people in the legal community.
Oh, yeah.
And one thing that I do want to share is that, you know, I have also a podcast host myself. I created my podcast. There's Femtech Life Lounge. There's also Virtual Water Cooler Chat. And there's something called IP Talk Brand Insights. And then I'm actually bringing one of the episodes to Vegas for Running Legal Like a Business in September. And we just kind of like hashed out some of the details. So I was like, oh my God, that's so awesome.
It's real. It's happening. I love it. So unfortunately, we got to land the plane here. But what I want to show is I want to show people your books on Amazon.
Okay.
For those that are watching the video. But yeah, one of the most recent one is called The Leadership Catalyst, Igniting Inspired Change. And then you just click Ashley's name here, and then you'll see other books that she's done as well. But yeah, the other one was this Collaborating in Competitive Ecosystems. Awesome. And then is your other one still online too? Or is that
one is through Barnes and Noble.
Ooh.
And so that's why it's not on Amazon. And I'm actually going to do a book signing at Barnes and Noble on October 4th in Glenlowden. Yeah. So a lot of things happening.
Well, listen, we'll make sure to put your podcast in our show notes and everything. But Ashley, you are clearly, I know why Katie invited you. I heard you spouting your wisdom. I was like, oh my gosh. I tell Katie, it's Pat Knees.
We need to read this book, The E-Mai.
you like the book I wrote. Yeah.
I was sitting at Starbucks coffee writing out like 21 some guiding principle because I need to pitch the panel or the podcast to this particular conference. And I'm sitting there and one of the questions that I have is like, can you give me your problem statements? I'm like, okay, writing down problem statement. And what is this about entrepreneurial mindset that you wanted to talk about? Okay, so I usually drop off my mom and go to Starbucks and start writing. So that's like immediately when I was writing your post about the E-Mind and with all the comments, show up in my LinkedIn algorithm.
That's cool.
Yeah, so I commented. I was like, okay, ordered. I have both Audible and also the paper format too. Yeah. So I'll be writing a review.
Oh, that's so good. That's so good. Well, Katie, I'll let you sign off for us today, but maybe you can just say, you know, 60 seconds of good things to Ashley and how people might want to even femtech, you know, and then we'll call it a day.
Yeah. No, Ashley, thanks so much for joining us today. I think it was great to have you on. And if folks haven't checked out her other podcasts, definitely go check those out. We'll put them in the show notes. And she always has really interesting guests on and really likes to get ahead of other really hot topics in IP as well, too, and the legal world in general, too.
Awesome. Ashley, thanks for being here today.
Thank you so much to both. And happy 4th.
That's right.
Recorded before Independence Day.
That is the truth. Right. That is the truth. Be safe.
Thank you for listening to You Are an IP Company Podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner and Katie Rubino. Visit instantip.today for more help on your IP journey. Remember, your ideas are valuable. Protect them today.